Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Today on Know How. How to entertain your friends with the Internet of Things. Welcome to Know How. I am Megan Maroney.
I'm Florence Ion.
This is a show where we talk about Internet of Things, Internet of Crazy, really frustrating, but ultimately fun and entertaining things.
I like how we had to preface that with really frustrating. When you're moving from a studio, from the home to the studio, it could be a little difficult, but thankfully what we're talking about today are very well-established entertainment protocols for entertaining people when they come over.
Yes, or entertaining yourself when no one's coming over.
Exactly, exactly.
So I have a big mess on my side of things over here.
You're making me feel kind of empty, honestly.
And you just have your beautiful tiny little Chromecast over there.
I just have some tiny things over here.
Yeah, you seem to have
actually
simplified it.
That's a great point. There is a difference between my ecosystem and your ecosystem.
Ecosystems.
Mine is quiet and lives behind the television or connected to your stereo. And Megan's has to find a place in the house alongside all the plants and where Gilbert sleeps.
Exactly. Well, to be fair, Apple TV, my Apple TV, which is, I guess.
Yes.
That's like a Chromecast.
And a smart home hub.
A HomeKit hub. But let's start with this long, giant thing that I have out there in front. This is the Polk Command Bar. This is a sound bar. If you watched my smart home tour, then you know my house was sorely missing a sound bar for great sound. And so Polk sent us this sound bar for review. It's called the Command Bar. And it is not quite as expensive as a HomePod, and neither is it as expensive as Sonos. And some might argue that it is not as good. And if you're looking at it, you can see it's $300 right now on Amazon. If you're looking at it, it looks like an Echo Dot has been dropped right there in the middle, that circle there. It's not an Echo Dot. It's not a sound bar with a hole for your Echo Dot. But it does have Amazon in it, as you can see when I said her name. As many third-party devices, you can't change the name. You can't change the wake word. So we're going to have to say the wake word and hopefully we'll mute it out if you're downloading this, if you're not watching live. So I can say play Believer.
Here's Believer by Imagine Dragons on Amazon Music.
Whoa, that's a shaky table.
So it has a subwoofer here, this giganto thing, and I wish you could feel it.
Well, if you put it on the floor, I could imagine you could.
Yes. I know you could feel it. I wish you guys out there could.
Stop playing.
So if you have played music.
Heard me.
Yeah, it did hear you. If you've played music with any of these smart devices, you know that when you have it turned up loud, you're often screaming and it doesn't hear you. This one comes with a remote, which is nice.
Oh, that's good.
You can just press the
recording. Admittedly, we did have a couple of issues getting it to quiet down after having it play at max volume. But I guess it's good to know that it works.
Mm-hmm.
It gets loud.
let me tell you what it comes with. It comes with an HDMI connector for your TV. If you have that port, if you have just the optical port, if you have a little bit of an older TV, it comes with that set up
as
well. It's really easy to set up. There's a hole in the back for an Amazon Fire TV, if that's what you use, and you can just hook that right up there. If you know sound, if you're familiar with sound, you're familiar with Polk. They've been around forever. John was telling me about his Polk speakers that he had back in the 70s, back in the day. So they are a trusted brand. I know music aficionados say, oh, that doesn't sound as good as the Sonos. But I think it sounds just fine.
Yeah. And it's also worth noting that there are sound bars out there with the Google Assistant built in from Vizio and JBL right now. They're slowly trickling into the market. So if Amazon one's not your thing, there's always a Google alternative. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there'll be plenty more by the time the holiday comes rolling around.
Yeah. So I think that this is a good buy, especially if you are fully into the Amazon ecosystem and you like to use it.
Ecosystem means a system formed by the mm-hmm. interaction of a community of organisms with their physical environment.
You could ask questions as she just displayed. She could be listening to you. It could be listening to you when you don't want it to be listening to you, all those things. But yeah, I think it's $100 less than the Sonos Beam, which is their soundbar. So, you know, you can make that decision yourself. And I have another Polk product here. This Polk smart speaker is in your ecosystem. So I can say, hey, what's the weather?
Currently in Petaluma, it's 69 and mostly cloudy. Today, it'll be partly cloudy.
It is cloudy. It is cloudy.
So I have found that setting up the Google Assistant on the speaker has not been very easy. And it was the same experience I had setting it up on the other third party speaker with the screen. Play music.
To hear that on YouTube, you'll need to sign up for YouTube Music.
Did you set your default in the Google Home app?
You can change your default music provider in the Google Home app.
I did that. So here's the Google Home app, if we can take a look at that. I wish that it would take... There we go. So here's the defaults. So I want to set the default as Google Play or Spotify.
Whatever you have an active account set on. If you don't have an active account on YouTube, then you should select either no default or Google Play Music, because you already have... I mean, you already have access to that through your Google account.
But not free. But
you still have some streaming. So it has streaming.
So I could say, hey, play music.
Playing some music.
There you go. See? And then it'll play it for you. You just can't be as specific as you'd want to be with the service that you pay for.
So I can't say, hey, play Believer.
You could.
That song's only available for Google Play Music subscribers.
There you go.
But try this Google Play Music Believer station.
Here's a station related to the song that you want to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But because we'd like you to pay the $10 a month. I mean, at this point, at this stage of the game, you kind of expect that if you want to listen to music.
So I wouldn't recommend these devices unless you're already a YouTube subscriber or a Google Play Music subscriber. If you go to Prime or if you have Apple Music, these aren't going to be very helpful. But if you do...
Unless you have a local server of music.
That's true. But this one also, you can group multiple Chromecast-enabled speakers.
Yeah.
So if you have other ones, you can group them all together in multi-room sound. So if you're really into multi-room sound and having everything play the same thing, then that would be a good
choice. I am into that.
But weirdly, these are both from Polk, the soundbar and this speaker, but they can't connect to each other because that one is in the Amazon ecosystem and this one is in the Google ecosystem.
Yes. Precisely, but that's because there's one for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea.
Okay, so I'm going to show you some of my other pieces that I have here. The Harman Kardon, the Harman Kardon, which actually has a pretty good speaker, and I think same thing. Like unless you have a music service connected to it, it's not just going to play music. So I could say Cortana, play Believer. Hey, Cortana, play Believer.
All right. Tuning in to believersradio.uk on TuneIn. Sorry, this station is not available on TuneIn right now.
I have a feeling it was going to play you something a little different than Imagine Dragons.
So, hey, Cortana, play music.
Okay. Tuning in to today's hits on TuneIn.
So that sounds pretty good. I mean, if you like this song. I don't know. Does it sound bad?
It sounds good.
Okay. Hey, Cortana. Stop. Okay. And the best sound, I think, comes from the HomePod. And because I subscribe to Apple Music, that's the one that is best for me. So I can say, hey, play Believer. And I think that sounds pretty good. Play my favorite music.
On it.
What's my favorite music? She knows.
It knows.
It knows. I don't even know what this is, but I believe that Siri knows it's my favorite music. Or I can shuffle playlists. I can do all kinds of things on there. That's what I love. And stop. Stop. I can also use my Apple TV remote.
Right.
So if you're really far away or you don't want to scream at your device, you can say, play Believer on my HomePod. And so that... Stop. I like being able to touch it too, although sometimes it surprises me and I touch it and it starts. I didn't need to say on here. I could have just spoken it right into my remote. So that I really like. And also, if we could see the Apple TV here in this screen, I know we have a lot of things we're trying to look at today, but let's see if we can. Okay, so this is really my hub of entertainment, mm-hmm. the Apple TV. So not only can I listen to, I can listen to all my music here. I can listen to, I can also play, look at my photos, which is entertaining. And this is obviously connected to the big TV. So I can, look at all the selfies I've taken. And I can play videos that I have, also, which is great. I'm just little videos on my, from here. And I can also say things like, show me pictures from Christmas. And she can't help me with that. Show me pictures from 2008. Show me pictures from 2008. Show me pictures from 2008. And she can't help me with that either. But, I can browse through them. She can do some, it can do some things. We're trying to really try to ungenderize these. It can do some good things as long as you know exactly what to ask.
Some but good things.
That that is my hub, the Apple TV, and for music. And I like being able to play the HomePod from the Apple TV. Or you can play it from your speakers, your soundbar. And that is all I've got. For my hub, let's see the more simple Chromecast.
It is simple, but you can do so much with it. For instance, you know, I just have completed a long project of uploading the last 15 years of digital photos that I have of my life into Google Photos. And now when I'm on my browser, I can pop into the album on Google Photos, and then I can go to the casting button in Google Chrome. And now I've got for you a slideshow I can show you of my first ever Comic-Con when I went in 2009. All the pictures of toys that I took because I didn't know what else to take pictures of when I was there. It's, you know, it's a very easy way to have a slideshow with your friends when they're over.
Absolutely.
The other nice thing about, oops, is now you can see my whole screen. Look at that. Is my whole, oh, look, there's me. Okay, we're gonna stop that. So now I'm going to stop casting this, actually. And now we're going to actually go. So that's one of the reasons I love the Chromecast, is because at home I could just pop into my Chromebook, which has now become my primary operating system at home and for work. I can just pop into this thing. I can launch any Android app that is compatible with this computer and stream from it anywhere I am, which is nice and convenient. Of course, if I'm downstairs, I don't have my laptop with me. I have my phone on me because we don't bring our work downstairs. We keep it upstairs.
Smart.
Away from the areas where we like to rest, of course. And so what I have on here on my phone is a, I have a folder of entertainment all set out here. So I have apps that I like to use with the Chromecast at the ready for watching TV. So one particular app that I really enjoy is YouTube TV. And so YouTube TV is great because I pay, what is it? I think I'm locked into the $35 a month plan, but now it's $40. And the nice thing about it is I have DVR, live TV for all of my garbage television. And yeah, live TV for all the garbage television, unlimited DVR to record all of the garbage television. The DVR actually removes after 9 months. So don't try and save anything from the fall lineup to try and catch up on it in the summer. I tried to do that with Riverdale this year, and well, then I had to go buy it to because I don't subscribe to Netflix, so then I had to go buy it to be able to watch it.
So your only subscription is YouTube?
No, this is my primary subscription, and again, I like it because it's live. We got all the local channels on here, so if, you know, God forbid something's happening, I can always like log in. What are the local news saying? You know, you get a lot of sports, which is really great. Like for the World Series, we can watch it no problem. Which, if you remember, when the Giants were really great for those couple years, it was really hard to watch anything. But then you have like a bunch of Disney channels, FX channels, the nice thing is you also have streaming capabilities with any series that is currently running. So I have all of The Simpsons because the FX shows every Simpsons ever. So I can, anytime I want to call it up, I can just type in Simpsons.
Can you use your voice too?
You can use your voice. So there you go. And if I want to add it, I would just click this little add button. And then every time it plays live, it will record for me. And then, yes, if I do, I can always hit the little microphone button, but I never do that. I just type it in. Another favorite of mine is actually, and so just to talk about the streaming services real quick, I also have HBO Now. Mm-hmm. So that is an app that I absolutely love. I'm, you know, big fan of John Oliver, the show Insecure that's on right now. Issa Rae is great. This is a great, great show. I know Sharp Objects just ended. Everybody is just like in total shock. And it's great because not only do I have access to all, and by the way, sorry about all the fingerprints on my phone. It's not only do I have access to everything that's streaming on HBO currently, but I can also go back into any of the great series that I may have missed. Let's see. I'm trying to... Big Little Lies, for instance. Okay, I really want to go watch it again because it was such a great series, so I can just go in and binge it whenever I want, and it's great. And then when I want to cast it to the Chromecast, I just hit this little button that you see up here in the corner. And anytime you see this, that means that there's a casting device in the area. And then I hit the studio TV and then it casts over. It's great. Mm-hmm. I love it. And so this is why my phone is my TV controller. One other service that I really like, and I've mentioned this, if you watch All About Android, I've brought this app to the arena, and I've mentioned this app recently on my Twitter page because this is how I've been watching Korean drama. Is Pluto TV. This is a, in fact, what I'm going to do actually right now is I'm going to cast this so you can stop looking at my fingerprints. So let's go cast this to the TV and then I can kind of show you the different channels. So you'll see here, I still have all of the controls here in my phone, but then the TV is casting Pluto TV. And what's great is there are two movie channels that are constantly playing movies. So right now is Clue, rest in peace, Tim Curry, of course. And, you know, if I'm feeling like I really want to check up on what's going on in the world, I could tap into Bloomberg Television, 24/7 live broadcast. And I believe this is filmed also at this, there's San Francisco studios where they film this. If I am feeling like I am really sporty, I could put it on a volleyball show. I can watch some college volleyball and, you know, just really cheer on the gals.
So, this is all, Pluto TV is all live TV.
This is all free live TV.
Free.
This is free. So you will have to deal with ads. And let me show you the channel that I love. There's also, just going to be up front here, there's some softcore porn on here. So this is definitely not an app that you can just hand over to the kid. There are kids channels on here. So actually, let me show you one of those kids channels really quickly. Here's a classic tunes channel. And we've got Gumby playing, which is sometimes this channel also shows Felix the Cat, if you remember, and a lot of like old black and white TV shows. And then there's also like an after school channel that shows Inspector Gadget and Sonic the Hedgehog and like whatever is open. And then there's also a reality TV station that shows Jerry Springer, Mauri Povich, vintage episodes. Mm-hmm. If you really love trash. And my new favorite station is Drama Fever, which is actually a Korean streaming channel that you can subscribe to if you want. But they also show episodes for free to kind of get more people into Korean drama, which, by the way, I highly suggest get into some Korean drama. My favorite one right now is Missing Nine, which I discovered through Pluto TV because they had a binge watching sesh and I was able, you know, I was bored one night. And so this satiates my looking through the channel's need. Yeah. I'm very used to that. You know, as a millennial who was born in the pre-digital era, I really just want to still be able to go through. So
Pluto, like, watch Clue right in the middle of it.
Exactly. There's also there's a CNET channel on here. And so you'll see a lot of web TV pop up, but it's free. And there's music stations, which I like. The 90s station is pretty great. And I also, which I unfortunately can't show you because I was just reminded that we don't pay for the feature, but at home when I'm watching TV, I have a very populated Plex library, and we're talking every DVD that I had that I procured in my college years, I've been ripping like crazy and uploading to a media server, which is on a RAID at home to make sure that everything is backed up in case there is failure. Right now I am in the market for a Plex server. So if anybody has suggestions, please, please get at me on Twitter at OhThatFlow. But the Plex is really nice because you can create playlists. So I have a playlist right now of all the shows I'm catching up on and kind of rewatching, and it's just nice to be able to, as you can tell, TV is the thing I have on in the background. TV is a big part of my working from home atmosphere because I work alone and I'd like to have something on in the background. And so that's why I watch a lot of television.
But if you paid for the Plex service, then you could watch
Plex Pass.
Then you could have it from
there. Another great thing, I'm going to go back to the Chromecast really quick just to show you a couple of other things. If you love podcasts like you do today watching us, thank you. You can listen to it through your Chromecast if you like and have this cool little screensaver play. And then that way, if it's hooked up through your home theater, if you have a Chromecast hooked up, you just do this very easily. And if you're feeling like, again, doing a photo album, all you have to do is launch it from your phone or your Chrome browser and you can show it off in the Chromecast. I love the Chromecast.
And it works with an iPhone as well.
It does. All works with iPhone. This is not just Android. It's just my ecosystem that I'm in. But the Chrome, I have one of these things in every one of my TVs. So I've got this Chromecast dongle at every one of my TVs. I've got a couple old ones laying around too because I bought them. There are rumors that there is a new one coming out later this year when we see the launch of the new Google Pixel phone. There's rumors that Google's also going to be launching a new dongle to kind of update because this hasn't been updated in a little over 2 years. Back in April, we saw a little dongle show up by the FCC that we thought was going to be the next thing. But this ended up going out to developers at Google I.O. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're all kind of just hunkering down and waiting to see what's next for us Google users for entertainment. And it's also worth noting that Chromecast is a different thing from Android TV. Android TV is embedded into a television set when you're buying it or into a set-top box. Chromecast is simply just a platform for getting on from another device. So think of it as adding functionality to your television that it doesn't already have. Also, there's an audio version. If you have speakers at home you love and has a little aux in, and you can connect it to a home group too, so that way you can have extra speakers. I really just love the malleability of Chromecast and the customization and the fact that I could just plug this in at my parents' house, teach them how to use it on their phone, and it's no biggie. Mm-hmm. They're actually, they told me this past weekend that they're kind of not feeling the Fire TV stick anymore mm-hmm. since they lost YouTube. And YouTube is a big deal for them because my parents are bilingual and a lot of their content comes from overseas and there's a lot of great stuff on YouTube that they can't watch anymore. Mm. So
I have an Android TV at home. Weirdly, I have my Apple TV hooked up to the Android TV because that's the way I roll.
Interesting.
I know. But I don't really use the Android TV because all of our movies we buy on iTunes so that we can watch them on our iPads yeah. or our iPhones. It's complicated.
And that is how you end up choosing your entertainment portal is you think, what do I have the most of in the house? If you like a lot of customization the way that I do, if you're really into like having your own media server and you've curated this long library of entertainment, I really like the Chromecast because I get to basically control it from an app and it's always on me no matter what device I have, tablet, phone, or Chromebook. And so it's nice.
Yeah. The one thing I do use the Android TV for is you can turn it on and off with your Amazon Echo devices, which is just, it's nice to be able to turn off
That's
your...
That's nice. I can't do that with my Google Home.
Yeah. It's, at first I was like, why can I only turn it off and on? Why can't I change the channels or and everything like that? But I feel like it's a pretty useful because it's sort of like turning the lights on and off and I can do all that through my Amazon Echo. So, you know, I'm done going upstairs, turn off the TV, turn off the lights and you're done.
See, I have to get around that by getting an outlet, a smart outlet.
Yeah.
My TV's still... Actually, I have a Samsung Smart TV. I do not use any of the smart stuff with the. I just bought it because Samsung TVs are always on sale. Mm, yeah. I'm an on sale person. That's how I function. I only spend money on like the phone and the laptop because those are the things I have on me always. Mm-hmm. But everything else, it's like what's on sale. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying full price.
I get it. So I think we've exhausted the TV, entertaining with the TV and music. We've got some comments in the chat room. Everybody reminded me that you can talk to your Amazon Echoes through your phone, through the Amazon Echo app.
You can talk to the Google Assistant through yes. your Android device mm-hmm. or Chromebook.
So avoid screaming at it. So that was very useful. Thanks. Okay, so if you've watched any of my shows, you know that I love the Nano Leaf light panels.
I think everybody loves this thing.
I think so too.
Honestly,
it is not new. So maybe
it's
we can
super
bring.
Cool.
Can we bring down the lights a little bit so we could
see
all of the Nano Leaf light panel in all of its beautiful glory? Let's try. So I can control this through the Nano Leaf app, or I can control it through HomeKit. I am going to control it through HomeKit. So I don't know if you can see my phone. Where I can change. There we go. So I have all these different scenes. So if we want to pretend we're in a nightclub.
Oh, you set up scenes. Okay.
Yes. I can do that or.
Should I come over with my ABBA? You know, I have ABBA on LP. like original LP.
Oh, you can come over with your ABBA, but the Nano Leaf also, I have the Nano Leaf rhythm. And so
let's do it.
I could say.
Play Dancing Queen.
And it will go along with it. So if you...
Oh, because it's... You can... It's a little... You can see it a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
So this...
Just wait until Cher releases her cover album.
So this is not that new. You can see it's also responding to my voice
yes.
a little bit. But what is new is the Nano Leaf remote, which is, what did we decide this was? A
dodecahedron? I can never pronounce it correctly.
Yes, it's many sides. Dodecahedron?
Dodecahedron.
It's a dodecahedron. And so this is a smart home remote. Which
iOS only, right? Currently?
Yes, iOS only. So as you can see, it has numbers on all the sides. And then I have set the numbers to do certain things. So one turns it on.
So you can roll it like a dice.
And then, so two turns it off.
three. We'll turn on a special scene. Maybe I have to turn it back on.
Ugh, and white light right in the face.
So, and four, if we could see the, can we see it with it? Maybe we should turn the lights back down a little bit and then see if we can see it. So four is changes the scene. And you can actually do several scenes with one number. This doesn't work just with the Nanoleaf. It works with everything in HomeKit. So let's see, what's number six? Turn that on. And so if you can take a look at my phone, I can show you. I've called this the, this is the Nanoleaf is the Twit dance floor. And this is called the Twit control freak. So if I want to set it, I open it up like that and I can configure all the buttons in details. Okay, let's see.
Also, fun fact about the Nanoleaf is you can expand it as much as you want. So if you decide that this is something you want to invest in, you can get as many panels as you like. And then that way, when you do, get the little dodecahedron.
Yes.
I'm purposefully saying that wrong, by the way. I just want to apologize dodecahedron. To everyone.
So I have set all of these buttons. So number five is the nightclub scene. and
yes, the nightclub in Petaluma.
Number six is the ripple scene. And I think I might have some extra. So I haven't.
The party is at Megan's house.
Here's how I can add. So if I want to do, this is button nine, I can do all these different scenes. And I can also do anything that's controlled through HomeKit. So for example, my front door, I can use that. And so then whenever I press number nine, it can lock my front door or unlock my front door.
It literally is a remote for anything.
Yes.
And you just configure it through an iOS app.
Yes, as long as you have a hub, like the HomePod. What I would love to be able to do, yes, a HomeKit hub. What I would love to be able to do, and you can't do yet, is to make it turn on or off my HomePod or play songs on my HomePod. Like if you, as soon as you walk in the door, it would start playing Barry Manilow or Dancing Queen or anything like that. I would be able to, I'd love to be able to do that. Hopefully in iOS 12, you'll be able to do that. But as I learned on Twitter from some people this morning that have been using the iOS 12 beta, it's not included in any of the betas. So I don't know if we'll be able to control our home pods remotely anytime soon.
I just realized I need to up my game. If I'm going to be having people over, I need to have formulas that bring up lights and just have a mood set the minute they walk in. I feel like I'm not living up to my potential.
I feel like you aren't either. You don't you have a lot of smart lights?
Yes, most of them are smart.
But they're not, you can't say like create my romantic scene.
I haven't set anything up. Oh. I just haven't. The only scene I have set up is Flo has a migraine.
Oh.
Please make the lights really low.
I think I might be giving you a migraine with these flashing lights. So I'm going to turn
So if you like flashing lights, but you don't have a Nanoleaf, but you have other kind of lights, there are actually free and some paid apps out there that'll do some magic for you. If you've got Hue lights in the home, LifeX lights, you can or even IKEA lights, actually, which I am told are not very good. The IKEA smart lights, I've been told this by several people in our industry.
I have one and it, but it's not the colored one. It's just the white.
Yeah. I have heard they're not good, but because it's IKEA and I'm assuming it's a big thing overseas that there's a reason a lot of these apps are compatible with them. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so whether you're on Android or iOS, I put together a couple of ideas for you if you want to just play with some like disco lighting at home. So the first app is called Hue Disco, and this one is for both iPhone users and Android users. And it basically lets you fine tune how much the bulbs beat to the music. If that makes sense, you know, what the pattern is like, what they look like. It unlocks all the capabilities of your smart bulbs. If you've got Hue lights, all you have to do is pair this app with the bridge, and then you can basically unlock party mode to its full extent. The Philips Hue app does let you do some of the stuff natively, but it's always fun to try and see what developers can offer you. For Android users, there's also an app called Hue Essentials. That's the one that also works with IKEA lights, if that's your thing. It is fairly straightforward interface. It's super easy to install. You can make scenes really easily. You can choose your color easily. It's just another alternative to the Hue app, and it lets you create scenes and dance to the music. as you like. And then lastly, for iPhone users, there's an app called iConnect Hue something something. I think it's a slightly longer name. iConnect Hue for Philips Hue. There you go. And this one is highly rated. Now, all these three apps, I've used two of them. I have not used the iPhone one just because I haven't turned on an iPhone in quite a while, but I have read the reviews on this app. I've done my research to know that this is one of the ones to choose if you want a third party one to kind of unlock some extra stuff. And I think this one has so much like cross Apple compatibility, which is also why I ended up noting it, because I knew that for Apple buffs, mm-hmm. you guys would enjoy something. It's a little fun.
It's $4.99, I think.
It's $4.99, which is, listen, support your devs. I never just pick free apps because they're free. I can, you know, I can buy a cup of coffee, and instead of buying coffee that day, I'll use instant coffee and pay the developer.
Mm-hmm. I'm so supportive of this developer that I bought this app a while ago and I haven't even used it.
Oh, really?
I did, yes.
I do the same thing, though. I feel like it's in the nature of our jobs. Yeah. Because
Well, yes, I will
part
use
of the
it.
Expense of talking about this
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's time for our IoT Woe segment, which is also a way to entertain, but this is a way to entertain kids. A company called A-Champs sent me this toy called the ROX S2. That's ROX S2. And it is sort of an IoT, get your kids off screens, have them running around toy.
Tire them out. It's so, like self-walking children.
Here it is. And it makes some of those wonderful, annoying noises.
Children noises.
Yes. So once you get it, you set it up with the app. This is the A-Champs app. Let me find the app right here. And I'll go to the beginning of that. I've connected my ROX, and then I can select a game. So the meat.
Oh, I get it. It's a rock.
Yes, it's a rock. These are indoor and outdoor, so you can bring these outside, and they're pretty durable. It comes with batteries, but it also has a wireless charger.
Looks like it could get lost at the bottom of a toy box. I'm just saying.
It does, and then you keep hearing that song. So first we meet the Peebs. These are the Peebs.
They're called Peebs?
They're called Peebs, yes. So they'll make a little sound. So place any of the Peebs on top of your ROX.
As you can see, yes. Or little barcodes on mm-hmm. the back.
A little QR code.
QR codes.
So we're going to meet them. I want to.
Okay.
So
all right.
You,
what
you
about
can play.
This one?
That's the sound of an ant.
All right.
Can
what
you
about,
hear that?
What about? Oh, wait. This is.
mm-hmm.
That is. Whoa.
That's a dinosaur, which is easily confused by, well.
Oh.
That's the.
Forget Roo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, the bear and the dinosaur are very similar.
Sort of like. Oh, you already did the monkey, right?
I don't remember. There are no shark ones.
No sharks.
There's the monkey. Okay, so that's the meet the game. Well done. Whoa. We did great by putting the things on there. I'm not going to play that game again. There's the beat me game where you, on this game, you put all of the little pieces everywhere and then try to get them there as fast as possible. When it makes the sound, you
just
match it up.
It's a great way to tire out little children again.
Yes.
I think this is genius.
Parkour. I love this one. You set it up outside and you make a little parkour course. So you put them everywhere and then
you have children
have
just jumping off building to building.
Exactly. Yeah. If you live in a big city, this would be a really fun game.
They're going to do that anyway, Flo.
Yes, Victor. The father of parkourers. Story time. Okay. So shall we play Duel?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's set it up. So we would go 3 meters away.
Sure.
And we've been playing. I set this up, so that might be why I'm winning at this point.
Mm.
And then next, let's do it for 60 mm-hmm. seconds, because any more than
we'll
that.
We'll trim it down.
Okay, place ROX now as seen in the setup video. So,
okay, so
you
have the two blues.
The kangaroo and the dinosaur.
And the dinosaur.
Here's your.
Okay.
Here you elephant. Go. Bear, kangaroo, dinosaur. Right. I have the other ones. All right, and now you could probably take the wide shot because you don't need to see us. You would need to see us to see how good we are at this game,
or this, oh. the shot of both of us.
Oh. Oh.
Is really?
I think that's the bear.
Now it's your turn.
See how fast I am? So obviously,
I just did Megan's.
Oh, you did?
She's not paying attention.
I'm not. Okay.
She's trying to do a show.
We did it. We did it. So
apparently that was 60 seconds. Was that 60?
No, I stopped it before it was over. I know. Time goes fast when you're having fun. So
these are cute.
They are cute for little kids. And if you get them running around and you
need
to.
And look, they have little holes in them so you can tie like little lanyards so that they don't.
Oh, yeah, you could. They do have little holes in them. It also has. You can wear this. You can play tag with it. You can wear it. And put this strap around.
I don't know how I feel about
that. So, like, someone is wearing it around their waist or something so that you're running after them and playing the game that way. So, that's fun, too.
This is fun. This is cute.
It is really cute.
I like this idea of getting kids outside and just using.
Yes. I like QR it too. Codes. Apparently, it's this second version is not available yet, and I think I feel they might need to work on the price point because right now it's $100.
That's a lot of money.
Yes,
honestly,
for a kid's toy. But
just put it out there.
So yes, 8-hour battery life, accelerometer, speaker, bright multicolor LED light, and it is robust, so you don't have to worry about it getting wet or getting left outside and stuff like that. So
that's fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's all we've got.
That's all we've got. It's just entertainment is really, I hope we entertained you today with our entertainment, with the ways we entertain ourselves. I think that the world of entertainment IoT is a lot, definitely more expansive than what we covered today, but this is just how everybody uses it every day in their homes. And we don't think of it as the Internet of Things, but if it weren't for, I mean, when the internet's down, all I can do is crawl into bed with my phone because all I have is cell service. Get it? And then if I don't have cell service, I guess I have to read a book, which I still do own some of those in paper format. So don't worry, I'm prepared.
We want to hear about your entertainment devices,
please.
Your IoT entertainment devices. You can tweet at me. I'm at Megan Maroney, or you can tweet at Flo. She's Oh That Flo. You can also email me, megan@twit.tv. We have a Google group, Google Plus group. That's what it's called, right?
Yes.
Google Plus community. Yes. We have a Google Plus community. And even though a lot of our projects that we've done on this series are not high tech, our community has really been doing a lot of Raspberry Pi projects and
High tech anymore, by the way. IoT is now officially everybody's tech.
Yes. Yeah. So, if you're missing that, go to the Google group and there's so many projects there that, and also look in our archives because there's no way you've done every project that Padre did in his many years of
That's a lot of projects. Mm-hmm. You can keep yourself busy for a while until maybe Padre is released from his duty.
That's all we got. Know-how. Do you want to cheers with your Chromecast?
Of course I do. I love this thing.
We'll see you next week on Know-how.